Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today's episode, we have four rounds in the magazine. Round number one, the Barstool Sports office is in a state of disarray. It offends my sensibilities and this reign of terror by Yankees fans and the young whippersnappers in the office. It must be stopped. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Round number two, the Army is working on a combat robot working dog. This is a betrayal the likes have never been seen, and it's not going to work. Science cannot recreate the unbelievable evolutionary feat that is a dog's nose. Round number three, Master Sergeant Mark Allen. He was 46 years old. He was shot in the head on July 9, 2009, while on a mission to search for Bo Bergdahl. Unfortunately, he passed away this week, and seeing pictures and that what he went through after he got home was absolutely gutting. It's important to remember what Mark's mission was like, so we are going to replay the interview that we had with Cody Fool, who was in Bo's platoon, to drive that point home. And round number four, Fortnite went down on Sunday in the middle of a long weekend. Is the Army esports team going to be okay? Yes, in fact, the Army does have an esports team, and all of that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Roman. Now, I want to say something before we really get started with the Roman ad here. It is the perfect opportunity for them because it's a long weekend. We have a long weekend of nothing but doing it in the barracks. And you're not supposed to do it in the barracks, but people do it in the barracks all the time. Right, Kate?
I did it in the barracks.
Ooh. Yeah, I never did because I was a rule follower. Absolutely a rule follower, so I wouldn't do it. But if you wanted to do it in the barracks, you might want to do it with Get Roman, because if you're going to get in trouble anyway, it better be for the good stuff. You can go to GetRoman.com, and you're going to get a good deal from them right now. That deal is going to be $5 for their swipes. That's just a monthly plan. You go to GetRoman.com/zero. The swipes are clinically proven to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast-acting. And the best part is they don't require a prescription. They can send them to you discreetly in an unmarked package, and it's small enough to fit in your wallet or inside your Blue Money Value bag. If you still have it, go to GetRoman.com. So let me set the scene while he is getting ready. Brent is actually at the position of parade rest in front of a boom mic, which I actually appreciate and didn't expect. Let me set the scene for you that are listening on Zero Block 30. Now, the office has a new gambling cave where on Barstool Bets, you can follow that on Twitter, on Instagram, and all over the place, where we have different fans from basically every single team that's left in the playoffs throughout the NFL season. We'll have our content folks go and watch the game live so you get those guttural reaction of what happened. Like last night, Brent and the rest of his Yankees pals saw my beloved Astros, Carlos Correa, hit a home run in the bottom of the 10th inning to win the game. Now, it's worth it whenever everybody's reacting and everybody feels sad. It's not as worth it as when everybody comes in on a Monday morning and there is food left all over the place. As a member of Zero Block 30, who's had military discipline talks for over 2 years now, I expected more from Bren. Bren, your initial response after leaving such an atrocious mess. What do you have to say for yourself?
The food should have been cleaned up, sir.
Yeah.
So, well, first of all, I work
for a living. Sir, he works for a living.
So, Kate, if you were still a young corporal and you had your lance corporals, your PFCs, leave that mess all over the common areas of the barracks, what do you think the punishment would be?
Well, it would definitely have to be a big punishment because we're talking the full case here. In this case, in the military, what would Eric Arnardini be?
Battalion commander.
She's the battalion commander. She's our CEO here, and she sent out an email this morning titled, "Are you too good to clean up after yourselves?" And then she wrote, "It would take you each approximately 30 seconds to put stuff in the trash. So fucking disrespectful."
Yeah, when you get on her radar, not good.
She CC'd the entire content team and then our boss, Dave Portnoy, El Prez, and then she specifically called out the Yankees fans, including young Bren, who were there in attendance at the thing, and there's photos of food and just stuff everywhere.
And this is the prime military example of you don't want to be on anyone's radar that is like three ranks ahead of you.
So
just at all.
Because the battalion commander is involved, maybe I would have taken care of it in house smaller, but because the battalion commander is involved, I feel like whenever that happens, you have to make a show of it. You have to do whatever, which I think we're doing right now.
So what was the response, Bryn? Like, what was the reasoning? The game was just over and you guys were like, fuck it, let's get out of here?
When you lose a game like that, you literally don't think about anything other than the game, the food. You just forget about the food. It's been eaten hours ago, and it's just usually there is a cleaning crew that comes. They had the off day today, so they did not show up overnight, so there was no one to clean the food up. We should have known that there was a holiday today and taken it upon ourselves to clean the food.
Yeah, but why would there even need to be a holiday? Why would it be okay to leave a mess like that, even if there was a cleaning crew coming?
They usually always do, though.
I'm not just saying this instance. I'm saying every instance. Why do people think it's okay to just
not
even put anything in the trash?
Every time there's a live stream, there's always trash everywhere. It's a bunch of young dudes. And Dave then
tweeted out.
Well,
I'm tired of making that excuse. It's a bunch of young dudes. Like, you should know better.
Then our boss, Dave, tweeted out, "The problem with our office is that with the exception of probably 5 to 7 people, the rest haven't worked an honest day in their life and just waltzed into a dream world and have no sense of reality, and we need to be their boss and parents." Lots of double chicken people on this list. So, yeah. And so there was two types of responses to this. Double Vodka Don, a.k.a. Big Ev, said, "Ashamed to be part of this. Got caught up in the heat of the game and forgot to clean up after myself. Had every opportunity to take 5 minutes of my time to clean up this mess and didn't do it. My parents didn't raise me this way. That's on me. Apologies to everyone at HQ." And that's how Bren has been, too. I saw Bren before the show.
Now, I know what you're going to say, so let me interrupt. Because whenever you have these moments where, even as like a company gunnery sergeant or something like that, where you know one of your Marines fucked up. And this is one of those cases. When I saw Brent's name at the on the list, I was like, son of a bitch, this motherfucker. And I was high and to the right. Like, I was legitimately getting upset. Because a lot of this stuff was like content, like where deep down inside, do I really care that it was messed up? But the responses of like just being so entitled, like Hub saying that,
well,
this is not on me.
Well, I wanted to talk about those two responses, because like there was Double Vodka Don said he took responsibility, and so did Bren. And I saw Bren back there with the mop and the bucket and the spray. He was actually back there really cleaning.
I didn't make a public comment, but on my way into the office, I stopped at a Rite Aid. I got Lysol, I got wipes, and I went in. And a lot of the stuff had been cleaned already and wiped down, but the painting where they were doing the mural, there was some stuff on the floor that needed to be swept up and mopped, and I helped Arya.
And that's where I knew that was happening before, because my initial punishment was going to be stronger. But MB, our lovely sales lady upstairs, who's like the intermediate between like the content side and the business side, she actually texted me that she saw Bren in the Rite Aid before Bren had addressed it with me or addressed it with anybody else. So he took corrective action on himself. So therefore, what normally would have probably been a straight up NJP, we're only going to do for Brent's first ever page 11. And the punishment, there's always a corrective action, because you're not a good leader if you don't give a corrective action with the punishment, is that I have suspended Bren from the Chaps and Kate show, where he's also the producer there, for 1 week. And during that time period, he will be going live on Zero Block 30's Instagram. He's going to have one of his other cohorts film him while he is doing cleaning, and we are going to go live on Instagram for about 15 minutes of that cleaning every day. That's what we're going to do.
Huh. Yeah. I think it's an overarching problem here that people think it's okay to just leave messes.
All right, Bren, you can sit down.
You're an officer, Cons. What would you do? Because I wanted to highlight the two different responses that were given. There's people like Double Vodka Don and Bren who took responsibility. PFC Eric Hubbs, big Yankees fan, comes up to you.
That's Recruit Hubs right now.
That's Recruit Hubs. He replies to our boss and says, "Ate dinner beforehand. Only time I left the stream was to go to the bathroom. I didn't touch the food. Not to say that mess isn't disgusting, but this is not on me." What do you say to that?
That's some behind the door counseling. But this situation overall, this is, hey, platoon sergeant, you got this. I wouldn't get involved in this. Myself and the platoon sergeant, or myself and the first sergeant, depending on my rank at the time, we might have a conversation behind closed doors, but I don't think it takes anyone
I'm just
too
saying,
senior Hubs, to know that this is a terrible answer.
Yeah, terrible answer on Hubs' part. And it did and not I go think over well. They both shit down
Hubs'
his neck
answer was bad. Another answer flying under the radar right now, I think, is possibly worse. If I was Erica, because she said Erica sent out a tweet that said, great question, whenever I said, I basically said, oh my God, how on earth do you leave this shit for other people to clean up? Erica said, great question, at Jared Carabas, at Radio Baron, at Barstool Hubs, at Tom, at Spider, at Marty, at Double Fucking Don, at No Name Pat, and other than Jack McCarthy, I can't be bothered to look up your handle, I'm so pissed. So she tags all those people, which I would imagine probably 70% of those folks she has never added on Twitter before.
Right.
She then, Jack Mack, has the audacity to correct her on Twitter and says, my name is Jack McGuire, not McCarthy. McGuire was passed down for generations. I wouldn't change it for a thing. Jack McCarthy is. Then he tags that person. And then he puts a little snarky picture of his ID.
Bizarre.
If I was Erica, honest to God, in that with how pissed I was to send three tweets, I am shocked that she didn't fire him.
That's a bizarre-ass move. That is strange.
I actually didn't see that. But
oh, my God. The whole squad is fucking up. Everything's falling apart.
I just – the ability by everyone here just to think it's, like, cool, like, just to talk back. Like, the talk back factor is kind of surprising
to
me.
Like, just, and that's what pisses – it's like there is this sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say, like, oh, we've worked hard. We've done this, right. that. Who cares? Like, these kids have done – these young men, young women have done – got a job. They have a job that people would legitimately kill to have.
Right.
Like, there's so many people, if you got the opportunity – people like Brandon Walker, for example. Look how long it took Brandon Walker to make his big spot. And then to have, like, the audacity to come in and not just this shit, but, like, the entitlement process at Barstool is pretty strong throughout. Like, there's folks who I've seen that I've worked with on content that couldn't lift a finger to, like, help the business side whenever they need to bring in boxes or do this and that. It's like, dog, just fucking help people out. Do your damn job.
Yeah, nobody's above anything, right?
Well, speaking of entitlement and fucking up at work, I had myself a great weekend down in Dallas for the Oklahoma-Texas game, where I got so drunk on Friday night that I spent the morning of Saturday where we were working vomiting everywhere.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. All I saw was Chaps' tweet about how great it feels when everybody is hungover except yourself, and it just makes the senior NCO inside him feel great and tingly.
Indeed it does. I hadn't drank in about 2 months. I quit smoking. I've been in like a bit of a – like so this is my first time going out in a while. And I went, I've discovered this bar called Double Wide, of course. I found the Trailer Park Bar. And it had these Yoo-hoo White Russians.
Yeah, so here's the problem with that. All that sugar is not going to agree with you.
I had five or six of them.
Wow.
And this was after crushing Natty's.
Wow.
Seltzer, delicious.
Yeah.
But I had several of these. And then Pat, who's a terrible influence here, was like, tequila, tequila, tequila. And I was like, okay, I haven't been out in forever. Wound up at a gay bar where I got upset that nobody was paying attention to me because I forgot it was a gay bar. And I was like, fuck these guys. Nobody even cares. And then, that's how drunk I was. The next morning, we are in the van. We are in the hotel lobby.
Were you late?
I was there on time.
Okay.
We're in the hotel lobby, but I had already been puking in my room. We get down there. The place is packed with, like, the old Oklahoma fans getting ready to go to the game. So they're all dressed to the nines. They're cowboy hats and boots. I have to run through the lobby holding my mouth shut to keep the vomit in.
Ew.
I get to the bathroom. I can't even close the door. There's a bunch of little Oklahoma Sooners ladies in there, old ladies. Couldn't even shut the door. I'm like, puking everywhere. We get in the car. Camera guy, sales guy, Chaps. The van is packed. And I'm in the back. And I'm like, oh, no. I threw up into a T-shirt in the back of the van.
Wow.
And honestly, Kate throwing up in the back of this vehicle is what took me from being mad to happy. When I knew that she was feeling it so much, my mood changed and I started being bright, like I was turning up the radio.
Yeah. I was like, well, it was dead quiet in there too when I was puking. And I was like, can someone please turn on some music to cover this sound? Then,
because I had even issued the warning. Like I had even said before we left, we had this Natty Light event that we had to go to. I left at like 8:30 that night, 8:30 mm-hmm. or 9 to go back. I was like, make sure you guys are good. We got a long day of content. I'm going to head back, like trying to be like dad mode, but not really be dad mode. Like, we got a long day of shooting, starts at 8 o'clock. Make sure you guys
are
good.
But YOLO, they're like, oh,
we're going to go out just for a couple more drinks. And in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see what Katie Instagram story has to say.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing with going out for a few more drinks. One, it's never just a few. It's always a lot. But two, I don't care what anybody does. And this is something my mentor always told me. So long as you answer the bell the next day, doesn't matter. Yeah. So it sounds like you kind of half answered the bell. You were there, but not fully.
Oh, no. Once I was up and moving, I was fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I was totally fine after that. I couldn't eat the fry. The only thing was, all I got at the Texas State Fair was a hot dog.
Oh.
I couldn't get anything else.
You didn't enjoy anything else?
But yeah, no,
She answered the bell after hitting snooze several times on the bell.
Yeah. I slept in the back of the Barstool bus until that wasn't in full swing yet. So, but the bus driver came back, put a blanket on me, turned off the light. And I was like, oh my God. But then.
And I wanted to be walking like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. So there's that.
Chaps, what were your overall thoughts on this performance?
Brent and I are both page 11. Page 11 for both of us.
Yeah, all right, yeah. I guess, can we just summarize, Chaps, your current thoughts on Kate and Brent?
Well, Kate offered I thought she put her hand up, just like saying responsibility is on her, to essentially secure her liberty the next time we have to do a company event. She was like, next time we go out, I'm not doing this. I'm going to secure my own damn liberty.
I accepted my liberty.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right. I accepted that. Bren, I was glad that Bren took it upon himself to not only come in knowing that he was going to clean, but provide the cleaning supplies himself. That showed good initiative, even though the leaving showed bad judgment. So overall, while I'm disappointed in the actions of Zero Block 30, this is a team that I'll still play with, still work for. We're going to get better from this. We're going to move on, and we're going to crush it from here on out. Same thing going with round number two. Let's get it started. All right, round number two. I'm going to take this one because it is a subject that's near and dear to my heart. Now, let me preface this by saying this thing that we're about to talk about is not something that is new. For years, they have tried to make a device that could smell just like a dog has. I remember whenever we were doing operations in Iraq, like whenever right before I went, the Army and the Marine Corps had developed this wand, essentially, that mm-hmm. you could wave over the ground and it would pick up explosive material. It worked at like 10% of the time, maybe. Where a dog's nose, they're not allowed to go to a combat theater unless they are 95% proficient.
Oh, wow.
All of their training, all of their, like, if you go through and you bury a training aid, or if you put a training aid into a building and the dog misses it and they miss an explosive, they will not certify. And they're not one. If you do one out of the nine, if they miss one, they cannot certify and go.
I like that standard.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because
I didn't know that's what it has to be.
That's
what it was, but I like
it. And when you're burying it, you don't use large amounts. So, for example, an IED that's really going to cause damage, you're going to have like a 155 round, which how heavy is that, Cons?
Oh, 50 pounds or so.
So you're going to have at least 50 pounds of explosives. Whenever you're dealing with C4, it's going to be something that could really go. You could do half a brick of C4 could be the training standard, which isn't going to be an IED that's going to cause mass casualty or mass damage. It might be like an ankle popper or something like that. But they have to be able to find the explosive really, really well. The problem is it takes a long time to train these dogs. In the schoolhouse, it takes at least 100 days to train a dog to be proficient on explosives. And that's the very basic standard, like boot camp. Then when the dog gets to his base, they've got his or her base, excuse me. They have to be able to do so much more than that. Now, the Army wants to have these different types of dog, which they call the legged locomotion and movement adaptation, the llama is what it's going to be called.
Llama
it's a
dogs.
Llama Roma, which is
that's a terrible name.
Terrible name. Terrible. Can
it
we just
like
stop
they
it?
They don't want these ones. The purpose of these ones isn't to sniff out explosives, though. It sounds like
right.
these are more for retrieval.
Right. But I don't think that these are still going to work. So here's what they had. They said that they wanted to have something to get closer to a working dog for a soldier. And we wanted to be able to go places where a soldier could go, like inside building. It's supposed to be a soldier's teammate is what they said. Basically, in the heat of the battle, they want this thing to be able to run around retrieving stuff and assisting soldiers, like it could run across the street and into enough buildings with its supplies on its own. It's a great idea. But think about all the places that we go. Are these robots going to be able to deal with super sandy and super dusty situations?
Oh, it
probably
seems,
not.
I think
yeah, that's something that could always mess you up.
Just, I think eventually. I think we're headed in the direction. Some of the robots I've seen and the things they've been doing, I think absolutely this will be a helpful thing.
Like those
thing
ones
in
that
battle.
Could do the backflips?
Yeah, I think eventually if they have the lay of the land and they have it out, because they said right now, the ones they have, mm-hmm. soldiers don't even have to be looking down at a screen. They have them. They're not joysticking it. They have them going across rubble piles and traversing paths on their own, which is crazy, which is
so,
pretty cool.
I think this could be good, but I don't think you would want to abandon dogs altogether. I think you'd want to use them both, because this is great in scenarios
that.
Where you almost for sure know there's explosives, and obviously, you know, a dog is still a weapon, and you don't want to have that dog be subjected to danger if you can avoid it. But at the same time, to your point, Chaps, you can't replicate the abilities that dogs have.
Oh, yeah. I don't think this is trying to do that in any way. I think that this is because dogs, too, are also such a great deterrent and a great way to keep people in check. I know people overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan were terrified. Like, that's a good way to keep.
When we would show up with a dog, it was like the end of the world.
Yeah. So that's, I think, totally separate from this. I think will just be another addition that is also going to be super helpful and cool on the battlefield.
Well, if it's an addition to, then do you not hate it as much?
No, I still hate it. I don't like that they compared it to my beloved working dogs. I think the working dogs are not only the greatest force multiplier that we have, but they're also the greatest bringer of joy. Like, if you have a nice one and you bring it into a platoon full of folks, I think that the mood just immediately increases automatically. You can't do the same with this stupid fucking robot. Overall, I don't think it is a great idea. I think dogs bring people joy. Robots do not. And if you're going to spend all this time building a robot, build one that flies. I mean, is that too much to ask? Because you're going to have all kinds of fancy wheels. Just build one that flies. That's
not
all
for nothing,
we want.
Though, too. I got to imagine it's a lot more expensive. I'm sure it costs a lot of money to train a working dog, but it can't be as expensive as building a robot.
Again, I don't think they're trying to replace one or anything like that. I think the more they work on this technology, though, eventually there will be one that can fly and run and do all this shit. So I think any advancement in this kind of technology is great. It's like the ones they were working on that can carry kind of like mules, like robot mules that can carry extra gear for the infantry and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome. I think if they can do it, keep developing it.
We call that Lance Corporal's case.
Yeah, Lance Corporal's too. That would help. But I think this stuff is good. Any advancement on the battlefield to help the guys out there, boots on the ground, I think it's a great thing.
Anytime, like I said, if we don't have to put dogs in harm's way and we can accomplish the same types of tasks, then good. But yes, not going to replace, but
if we made them cute, like a Furby, maybe then. No?
Okay.
Oh, all just right. Real quick, last thing. I misspoke. When Chaps asked me how heavy a 155, I said 50 pounds. It's more like 95, 100 pounds. My bad.
Well, we all go to the gym here. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's true.
True. Glad we didn't have the triggered artillery guys coming in. Our fucking mentions. Like,
actually, all right.
I also did that on purpose to hope that Cons would mess up.
Yeah. So. Nah.
Corrected myself. All right.
Let's move on to round number three.
Round number three, guys. Sad news. Master Sergeant Mark Allen has passed away, and Allen spent 21 years in the United States Army and the Army National Guard. And he retired in 2013 upon receiving a Purple Heart, but he had been unable to walk or speak since he was shot by a sniper in July of 2009 while looking for Bo Bergdahl, who, we all know, walked off his base in Afghanistan and was held by the Taliban for 5 years. At Bergdahl's trial, Allen's wife Shannon testified that it would take up to 90 minutes each morning just to get her husband out of bed, showered, and dressed. She had to use a pulley system attached to the ceiling to move him around. His young daughter liked to climb into his wheelchair and sit on his lap, and the whole community I was reading came together. They helped build playgrounds in the backyard for the kids. They all really tried to help out as much as they could because Allen survived by his wife, Shannon, his son, Cody, and his daughter, Journey. As for Bergdahl, he was reduced in rank from sergeant to private, ordered to forfeit $1,000 in pay for 10 months, and given a dishonorable discharge, but he did not receive any prison time. So, looking at the repercussions of what happened to, you know, Master Sergeant Mark Allen here, it's just, the whole story is just to see what the family went through for so long. Mm. Really, really tough.
Yeah, and the juxtaposition of their two pictures, like of how he looked before he went on that tour to Afghanistan to how he was when he came back, is just gutting. And I think a lot of the defense for Bergdahl whenever he was going up was that no one had a direct death that was a result of his actions. Well, this is now very clearly tied to it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people also said, and we talked about it back and forth, that it was a hard case to go through, because you do realize how long Bo Bergdahl spit at the hands of the Taliban, locked inside a dog's kennel, and went through crazy inhumane treatment as well. It's a fucking tough case. People ask us still about it all the time, so I thought it was appropriate to bring back one of my friends, Cody Fool, who knew him. He served together. They were actually in the same fire team together. So here is former Army soldier Cody Fool. When I was Zero Block 30, I'm proud to have one of my buddies that I've known for a long time on Twitter. I knew him when I was like a very beginning young Twitter personality. He probably had like 500 or 600 followers. I just fucked around all day. And he went by the name of Cody Football back then. And we just talked football. He was a Houston Texans fan. I was a Jaguars fan. And we just kind of like hit it off just talking football shit. Then the entire Bo Bergdahl process came into place whenever Bo was released from custody in Afghanistan after President Obama signed an agreement. And I noticed that Cody started going on all these different interviews and shit. And I was like, why the fuck is this dude doing it? Well, it turns out he was actually in the fire team, not even just the squad or platoon, but Bo Bergdahl's fire team. This is Cody Fool, Sergeant Cody Fool, Army veteran. Welcome to Zero Block 30, my friend.
Hey, what's up, chaps?
None, man. It's nice. We've texted, we've tweeted for a long time, but it's nice to actually finally speak to you. We've talked on the phone a couple of times, but not face-to-face or Skype-to-Skype. So this week has got to be bringing back a lot of shit for you. So why don't we start from the beginning? You didn't just know Bo Bergdahl from Afghanistan. You knew him long before that. How did you guys meet?
Yeah, so I got to the company right when they got back from Fallujah. So that was fun being the fucking new guy when all these guys just got back from banging out in Fallujah for 15 months. So I was there for almost a year, and then he showed up. And he showed up probably, I don't know, we were going to deploy in February. He showed up in like November, probably like October, because November we deployed to National Training Center in California to get ready for the deployment. So he was there probably October, November, December, January, and then we deployed in February. And then during that time, I was his roommate at Fort Richardson. We lived in the same room, shitty fucking 1960s barracks
classic
room, while
brand
the
new enlisted dude,
yeah, all
room,
the
just fucking
all
trash.
The cooks and, you know, guys that pump gas are living in condos, and we're just infantry guys living in shitty barracks. So it was three people in a two-man room, and I don't even think I'd put one of my kids in the room. That's how small it was. And he was a saw gunner on our team. So yeah, I knew him since he got there.
Was he a weird bird back then too?
He was, man, and I don't know what it was, just something kind of, just, I don't know, mannerisms. You see somebody, you're just kind of like, that guy.
But to be fair,
weird.
There's a lot of those type of motherfuckers in the
there
military.
There is
so
a lot
it's
of,
not like you're
sure
rooming with this dude and you're like, this motherfucker's
dude,
about
you know?
To walk off post in Afghanistan and be a prisoner for 5 years. Like, there's a lot of weird dudes in the military.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, there's probably guys that thought I was a weird dude, which is fair, because I thought 99% of everybody in the military was weird. It's just such a melting pot anyways, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but there's just some of the things about him. I told people have gone on record, I'm like, man, that guy's fucking weird. Like, oh, whatever. I'm like, nah, dude, like, that guy's weird.
Well, like, he hits like the weirdness trifecta in a lot of ways too. I think isn't he from like Montana?
Idaho,
something, one of those crazy northern states, and he's a homeschool kid. Like,
he was into like ballet, like didn't have a cell phone, like just like,
a lot of the things that you would normally pin somebody for being a weird guy, he was. So you guys did any workups? Was there anything that he talked about in workup that, looking back, hindsight being 2020, that you were like, this is kind of suspicious?
Yeah, so like before we deployed, he was always reading like Rosetta Stone, like for the languages over there, which is really a good thing for a soldier to do. You know, you're like taking your own time to do that and stuff. But the rest of us were like, fuck you, man, we might die. Like, we're going to go drink beer and, like, let's go out as a team, you know? Let's go, like, eat some hot dogs or drink some beer or whatever, holler at some girls. We're all young, single, 20-year-old males. And you know anything to do with that? And then before we deployed, he bought an AK-47 and went, like, trained on it. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And
probably not in the moment, right? Like,
not in the moment. Nothing like, you know, you're not going to be like, this dude's going to cause a fucking shit show.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, you're like, no, I told y'all he was fucking weird. And here's X, Y, and Z.
Yeah,
like,
just a lot of confirmation bias going
obviously
on.
Obviously, I wasn't, you know, I was on the right track. But, and, you know, there was like times where he was like, you know, I wonder, you know, if you could get to India or China from this or that. And you're like, what the fuck? And then they're in firefights, you know, man, I wonder, you know, if this deployment's lame, you know, I could just see myself, you know, just popping smoke. And you're like, shut the fuck up. And then at one point I remember.
Explain what you mean there, because we have a lot of civilian listeners. So explain what you mean by in a firefight and he's talk about popping smoke.
Okay. So like a firefight, like cowboys and Indians when we're kids, to just put it to little. Good guys, bad guys, were shooting at each other. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to kill you, you're trying to kill me. And then popping smoke is, you know, if you're going to exfil with a helicopter, you're going to throw a smoke grenade and it's going to see where you are. So, you know, military guys sometimes, you know, if it's instead of saying nope, like nope and out of a situation, you're popping smoke.
Yeah, so like it's the military equivalent of an Irish goodbye. So like whenever you're about to leave a bar, you just roll a little smoke grenade and you walk out and nobody sees you leave. So it's basically an exit strategy.
Or as I like to call it, he gone.
Yeah.
So, and then at one point we're like on this like shitty OP in the middle of fucking nowhere. And he's like, man, these mountains are so beautiful. I can just like see myself getting lost in them. I'm like, no, like maybe like in Colorado or New Mexico, but like not fucking here. Were they like,
dude, that was the same shit that happened with the people who just came back. And they're like, we just looked at the mountains in Afghanistan. They're beautiful. Like, sure. Yes, they are objectively beautiful mountains. Inside the tree line, there's a lot of shit that's going on that's not exactly beautiful.
There's people that want to kill you just because you eat pork. Like, not a good place to just frolic around.
No. So whenever you guys were there, did you listen to Serial? I don't think we've ever talked about that.
I did listen to Serial. They called me to be on it. I told them I don't want to be on it. I knew the direction they were going to go, so we don't need to... Sure, we can get on here and talk about Serial or whatever, but yeah, I did listen to it, but I didn't. I was asked to participate. I declined. So.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up because there was a lot of things that they used to shape the argument towards Bo's favor. Like, he had all these things going on, and since you were actually there in a lot of those firefights, I wanted to talk to you about, one, that it's very normal behavior for a commanding officer of an infantry unit to care about shit showering, shaving. Like, that's very, very common. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's all like we can all agree that it's the dumbest fucking rule possible. Like, we're all out of the Army now, like, or the Marines in your case. Like, yeah, like, who fucking gives a shit if I'm shaved or not? Yeah, it's dumb, but at the same time, like, you're in the military. That's the way it is, man.
It was part of it in the Revolutionary War. It was part of it in Vietnam. It was part of it. It's part of it now. Like, military leaders are always going to care about appearances. Especially when their bosses have things coming down to investigate too, like what happened in firefights. If there's somebody coming to investigate, you're going to be in proper military order, and part of that is
That whole thing really was our platoon got fucked over by a guy named Sean Smith. I think he worked for it was either the Guardian, Daily News, one of those UK papers. Mm-hmm. So he came out to we were on this like tiny ass OP, the OP that he walked off from. We do like a rotation out there for like 5 to 10 days, and then we'd refit, and our sister platoon would do the same kind of rotation. Well, out there, there's like no supervision. It's hot as balls. There's no shower, eating MREs. It just sucks. So like our good platoon command, our good platoon sergeant and our platoon leader at the time, you know, lax the rules a little bit. Like, it's hot as fuck, dude. Like, take your shirt off and just wear your bulletproof vest, your plate carrier, whatever. Like, I don't care. Like, no, I don't – just before we roll back in the wire, like, shave. Like, they were being, like, common sense about
being
it.
Being normal small unit leaders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that guy went out there, took pictures of the platoon, and they, like – it, like, they flipped the fuck out about it. And that's what started that whole fiasco. Like, that's why he got twisted off about it. Like, but that guy like fucked us over. I don't think he did it maliciously. You know, he was just releasing pictures because he's a journalist there supposed to be covering the war or whatever.
And a lot of times those are the type of pictures that are going to get a lot of coverage where you see people in the real element. Like it is like as like a journalistic thing. The pictures that are like people really in the shit, they're looking exhausted. They're probably smoking a cigarette on the side. That's the type of pictures that people want to see back home.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. But I mean, like the same
but
time.
But it still fucks you over. Like you're still going to get in trouble.
Yeah, somebody's still getting called to the carpet. Like, yeah, regardless. And, you know, it's just my thing with it is like, I don't know. Like, he's just so idealistic, I guess. I don't like what the fuck you think was going to happen, dude. You honestly thought you were going to walk from here to another base and then be like, I want to see a general because our commander's fucked up. Like, yeah. You didn't think something bad was going to happen, you dipshit.
So let's do it a little bit chronologically. Whenever you first got the word that a Dust 1 had been issued, what was your original reaction?
Okay, so the OP mess that we were on, it's called OP mess. The bottom of this thing was in like a wadi, which is like a huge natural ditch, right? The mountains drain the snow and they have wet seasons and they go through these big ditch things. So that's what it was in. Well, on top of it was a bunch of hills. It was like three hills, probably 50-foot tall hills. They're pretty good hills. Here in Texas, we'd probably call them a mountain, but they were a hill. So on the top of the hill, they had two little bunkers that the Afghan National Police manned. And then we manned the front-facing bunker that faced the intersection of Route Adi and I forget what the other route was. So I was up there with my team leader, who was also Burt Dahl's team leader, our FO, which is our forward observer. He calls in artillery and mortars and all that. Another guy... And then there's another guy. So they're all sleeping and I'm on watch because we're all doing shifts. And in the mornings they're calling, you know, are y'all all good up on equipment and stuff. Now I'll set the scene for you non-military personnel. Some dickheads will wake everyone up and visually check to see if they have their gun and their night vision and all that. Well, I'm not a dickhead. So I just kind of looked through everybody's stuff, made sure it was good. And said, yeah, we're all good and let them sleep. You know, it sucks enough. So this is the blah, blah, blah. Everybody's up. And then I hear 2-3, which is my squad, say we're missing one personnel. And then a light bulb. It was like a fucking epiphany. Light bulb goes off. I'm like, that motherfucker. And they're like looking for him.
So you didn't originally think like he was going to take a shit, like that he was.
No, I knew, dude. I just fucking knew. It was just I. Like looking back, like confirmation bias. I just knew. I don't know how to explain it. Mm-hmm. And they're like calling. I call down there. I'm like, who's missing? They're like, Burt Dahl. I'm like, yep. So they're looking for him at this point. I'm like, I like kick my team leader's foot, wake him up. He's like, what's up? I'm like, hey, Burt Dahl's gone. He's like, what? I'm like, that motherfucker's gone, dude. He's like, shit. So he gets up and we walk down the hill. And they're all trying to look for him. And I go up to Snooshar and I'm saying, hey, did y'all check his stuff? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, go check his shit. Like, is his gun still here? Like, go through all his shit. So they go over there and look through all his stuff. And, like, his compass was gone. Like, his water, his, like, camelback was gone. His camera was gone. But, like, all his sensitive equipment was there. So I'm like, dude, that dude's gone. Like, he left. Like, Caliban didn't come in here like Jedis or ninjas.
Just get him. Just
sneak him out. No, they would have dropped a grenade on the way out or something. Like, he's fucking gone. Like, y'all need to call it up. And they're like, well, if we call it up, blah, blah. I'm like, no, we need to call us up, like, now. And they did that. Well, they called battalion, and I don't really know the time frame between when they called battalion and when they actually called Dust 1. I don't know how many minutes it was, because I know they kicked out a patrol to, like, immediately start looking for him. And I went back up to the hill, and me and my team leader were up there just, you know, like, man, this is terrible.
So what were those first couple hours really like?
Oh, it was mass fucking chaos, dude. Like, within, like, half an hour, you just heard helicopters, planes, planes touching down.
So it was like a movie scene, right?
Like, oh yeah, man. Unless people don't understand like the severity of his actions. Like, there's other like FOBs and small OPs with guys that got attacked and got whacked and couldn't get any backup because every asset was pushed to find this guy. You know, I mean, this that happened. That's real. And Jake Tapper wrote a book on it. Like, yeah. It's real.
So when you were going through all the motions and look for him, what did your op tempo? Because I mean, you can't really express through words. I mean, even though you're a well-spoken guy, you can't really express the chaos that must have went on. What was your op tempo like before he left and then after he left?
So we do that OP, and mainly the whole purpose of that OP was to sit on that intersection and prevent or disrupt Taliban operations from the village of Yayakel, Mest, and then there was another village behind us. They were like Yayakel was to the west, and that was like the Wild Wild West. If you went there, you were getting in a shootout. That was a big Taliban stronghold. And our whole objective there was to, prevent those guys moving freely. Mm-hmm. So we would mainly sit on that route and watch that route, and then we would have dismounted patrols throughout the surrounding villages, sometimes at night, sometimes during the day, just kind of walking around trying to stir shit up. So, you know, maybe one, two missions a day, rest of the time just squashing nuts behind a machine gun. And after that, it was go, go, go. For whatever reason, like I said, there was five of us up there. I think our fire team was short. So instead of having a saw gunner, a grenadier, a rifleman, and a team leader to make up four, we had a saw gunner, which was Bergdahl, a grenadier, which was me, and then we had a team leader. So with Bergdahl being gone, it was just me and my team leader left. And I think they didn't want us close to the situation. So they left us on the bunker during probably the first 5 to 6 days of this. And that's a whole like other issue. At one point, they kept taking people down from there. So it ended up being just the three of us up there that had to man this bunker for 24 hours a day. So 8 hour shifts. And then at one point, the op tempo was so high, everybody just fucking left the OP. And it was just us three there by ourselves.
Wow.
For like 4 hours. Yeah. They just left us. Like they forgot. So during that one time, my team leader had
like, be a time where they're like, we need to have accountability of all of our.
Yeah. People. Yeah. You know, it was a total shit show. Like the whole thing was a total shit show. Like my team leader got Evan Buto got like the flu or something. He was like dying. He had like 102 fever. I was like, dude, just get in your underwear and chill in the corner. Like we'll cover the guns. Like, don't worry about it. And, I look down there. I'm like, dude, nobody's here. Like it was eerie quiet. Like I'm out there like prepping claymores and shit. Like it's fucking movies, man. I'm like prepping claymores, getting frags stacked out, getting the guns all ready. Like, all right, boys, if they want to fuck us up, it's just us three. So, and you got the flu, so you ain't doing shit. So here's the clacker.
How much longer were you guys in country after he left?
What was that? August, September, October. August or July 30th, what is June 31st, June 30th when we left? So July, August, September, November, December, January. We left at the beginning of February.
So you had quite a few, like 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, and the fucking crazy thing and is,
your, was your entire deployment speak. About that eventually? Like, about yeah, like just finding
90%, him? Yeah. And he was only in country 6 weeks because he's a weirdo and didn't take a shower. He got a staph infection. So he missed movement. And he didn't even get to country until like May. So he was only in country like all of May or like 2 weeks in May and then June. And then he left. Like he wasn't even there in February when we got there.
What was your command's reaction and like how they felt about him? Was everybody just pissed that this was the missions that they were running?
Well, I mean, you're still like, he's at the end of the day, like he's American. Like I'd much rather get this guy back and him go to jail than, you know, Terry Taliban cut his head off on TV. So we're like actually, you know, we're trying to find him. But yeah, you're still like, this dude just said, fuck y'all. Like, I'm out of here.
And
like,
and I've noticed like just in the time that I've known you too, whenever you were there, did you feel like any sympathy? Because I know now, like when we speak and I've seen some of your interviews in the past and maybe some of our listeners have too, like at times you can come across as, I mean, I don't want to say bitter, but like angry at him for what he did. Was that your initial feeling too, that you were like angry at it, or was there any type of you that any part of you that like kind of understood that he was fucked up and like reading past reports that he probably shouldn't have gotten into the Army because he had mental health issues before.
Well, I didn't, nobody knew that at the time. Like we weren't.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like I'm saying, like looking back now, does any of that sway you at all? Or do you still just feel like, fuck this guy?
I mean, okay. So the times we live in, there's a lot of sensitive fucking people in this world now, mm-hmm. like overly sensitive. The way you play stupid games, you're going to win stupid prizes sometimes. Like, I mean, yeah, you got yourself into a shitty situation, but nobody else did. Like, nobody puts you in that situation but yourself. So I think sometimes at the end of the day, like, people have to take responsibility for their actions. As shitty as those consequences might be, and as shitty a time as you had, like, you put yourself there. Like, nobody forced you to do that. You did it. And you know, I'm not.
And you're, like, big time on the record that you want him to go to prison at Leavenworth for a long ass time, right?
I mean, I don't know. It's not up to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
But you're there, like you have. I mean, you have like you have to have some sort of opinion.
Yeah, Chaps, but I'm not gonna go on record and say what I want to happen because he's not getting sentenced till next Monday. Like, I don't want to have any ammo that it could, you know, I influenced it or anything like that.
Okay, yeah. And that makes sense too. And I mean,
I am on record saying at bare minimum he should receive a dishonorable discharge.
Yeah,
and not get any benefits.
I'll say what I think, and you either. You could say whatever you want. You could either just be like, I decline to talk. But I think that he should get no more time. I think dealing with 5 years and with the Taliban, being a prisoner of the Taliban, has got to be one of the most hellacious thing that you could possibly go through on Earth. If he's been in there for 5 years with the Taliban, what else is he going to get from being a prisoner at Leavenworth? I think he should have a citizenship revoked and get the fuck out of America forever.
I haven't even thought about that second part. I like that, though.
I think that's it. If you hated it so much and you wanted to leave, even if that wasn't your motivation, people died to get you. You get the fuck out. You need to try to be an asylum. Get asylum from some other country, and I don't care which, but to get the fuck out.
Yeah. I mean, it's just – so like,
it cost us a lot of money at Leavenworth,
God,
too.
Dude, people don't even – yeah, he would, but you don't even understand the amount of money people spent looking for him. There was like – I read somewhere one time it was like $35 million in the first 45 minutes. Like, gone. That's taxpayer money. Like, gone. Like, yeah. That's crazy.
And we spend that much money, like, if something happens to you, like, helicopter flights, like, in country.
But there's a huge difference.
Right. Yes, I agree.
I'm on
with
a FOB,
you.
And I'm fighting to the death, and everybody's died, and the Taliban snatch my ass up and take me. Like, fuck yeah, let's use all the money to get that guy back. But, like, you just, like, nope, fuck this. I'm out of here. Fuck you guys. I'm taking my ball, and I'm going home. Like,
and you – this is kind of – there was a part when I was watching Serial Season 2, and I hate to go back to that because I think it was utter trash. But there was a part where I started to kind of, like, feel not bad, but just, like – understanding where he was trying to come from. Like, I really was trying to get to that point, but I ultimately couldn't get there.
You can't do it if you served in the military. You can't do it. There's a chain of command. You can, if you have that big a problem, you can voice your concerns to somebody.
Right.
Like, I don't buy it. I really don't.
And he seemed a lot of really, really self-serving. Like, in a lot of it, like, don't tell me that you're going to go do these great things, man. You have the inspector general, you have requesting masks, you have a million different routes that you could take, and you took the ultimate – you took the wrong one, dude. You took the wrong one. I just can't wrap my head around how somebody could do that. I really couldn't. Let's get back to you. So these things keep coming up, and it seems like it's like every 6 or 7 months. It's a news cycle. So
yeah, right.
And then your name comes back up and people want to talk to you about it. It stinks that you've done what you've done in service and what other your platoon mates, your squad mates, your fire team mates, your battalion, like your entire regiment for that period of service has become known just for that. I want to highlight some other things that you guys did despite fucking Bo Bergdahl. Tell me about some of the people that in your platoon who were great fucking soldiers, whether it be a combat story, whether it be a funny story. Just give me some lighter news so that there's something out there that's not just Bo Bergdahl related with your guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's one of the things I want to add, too, is like, so, like, you served, I served. There was people you didn't like in your platoon. There's people that didn't like you in your platoon, but you would still take a bullet for them no matter what. Like, mm-hmm. I – outside of work, you're like, this dude's a fucking douchebag. But once you put them uniforms on, you got that flag on.
He's
you're
my
like,
douchebag.
He's my douchebag, and I'm going to take a goddamn bullet for him if I want to, you know? So what he did, it's hard to convey that to people. Like, it really is a family at that point. Like, yeah, you don't like your cousin or whatever, but if some dude's beating on your cousin at a bar, you're like, that's my cousin. Like, you're going to stick up for him. So I just it's just hard to convey that. And Cyril tried to play their little game they want to play because they're all in bed with Mark Bowl and he wanted to do a movie. And if people hadn't figured that out yet, then I don't know what to tell you. But as far as good guys in my platoon, my best friend, and he was me and Bergdahl's team leader, probably one of the best soldiers, NCOs, whatever you want to call it, I ever served with, treated you as a man. I've never heard him raise his voice to anybody, and nobody fucked up because he didn't try to, if you fuck up, you're going to do so many push-ups. But no, like, we're all grown men here. We're going to do a job. Don't fuck up because have some respect for me. And we still talk every day. He's got some great kids. He's a sheriff in Washington. His daughter's even been on ESPN before as the biggest Seahawks fan. She's like 3 years old and could name like the deep snapper. Another guy, Matt Vierkant, a good dude, got a Purple Heart in Iraq, took a rocket to the face, and a SF medic dug it out with an MRE spoon.
Steak. Oh, with an MRE spoon.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, big dude. Another guy, and I understand he doesn't really want anything to do with the platoon. He was our platoon sergeant, Larry Hine. Bottom line, the best NCO I've ever seen in my life. A mountain of a man. This dude was like 6'7", 280. Big-ass dude from Pittsburgh. Huge Steelers fan. Shit rolled downhill when all that happened. And, you know, he was 2 or 3 years away from retirement, and they fucked him. And they fucked him hard. And it's bullshit. He had nothing to do with it. Like, he can't – how the fuck is he going to know this guy's going to desert?
Yeah.
And it left him jaded, and the whole situation kind of really fucked over his life. And I understand why he didn't want to talk to anybody. But I'm just hoping maybe if somebody hears this podcast and knows him, just tell him, you know, the rest of the guys love the shit out of Papa Hine and, you know, thought the world of the guy.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Last point on Bergdahl. Whenever they did make the trade, and if you don't remember, I think it was for 5 pretty high-level prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. How did that make you feel?
Dude, we traded a 7th grade B team backup point guard for 4 NBA players. So, you know, how does that trade work in your favor?
Here's my thoughts, and I understand if you feel differently because you are personally invested. I think that the notion behind what goes on in saying that no man is going to be left on the battlefield no matter what is a beautiful notion. And I think that sometimes you give up people that you know is not equal value or equal trade value, or it wouldn't fit the ESPN trade machine, like
a trade chart.
You're trading 5 NBA max player contracts for an undrafted free agent, essentially. But there is something beautiful about, we're not going to leave you behind. Even if it's your fault, we're not going to leave you behind.
I agree with that. I just think you could have cut a better deal. And I also think a little bit of that is too, is the way I've always read it is, we're not going to leave an honorable man behind. You know, if some guy kills 2 U.S. soldiers and then pop smoke and gets captured, are we going to trade for him too? Because no man left behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just at some point you kind of have to draw the line. You know, again, I realize it's a very complex situation. There's literally, we could talk forever on it.
And people will, like, it'll be a subject of like foreign policy whenever people are getting their master's thesis and doctoral theses and colleges and universities across the country. Let's move on from fucking boat. You got any save rounds alibis you want to mention before we move on from that topic?
What?
Save rounds alibis? Like, anything else you want to add?
Nah. I think that's good.
Okay, so we were going to record on Tuesday. We're recording now on Monday the 16th. We were going to record on the 17th, but we decided that we couldn't because my daughter has band concert, and we couldn't do it tonight because there's an Astro game. You're a big Astros fan. So who you got going forward? Astros leading 2-0. Who you got?
Astros in 5. And the Astros are the only shining light I have right now because I lost David Johnson and I lost Aaron Rodgers yesterday on my fantasy football team. Mm-hmm. So, and the Texans lost Whitney Merciless and J.J. Watt. So,
but you got a quarterback.
Deshaun, Deshaun the God is the truth, but I just don't know if he can hang 7 touchdowns a game.
No doubt, man. Well, Cody, we appreciate you taking your time to come on the podcast. Good luck to you, and hopefully we'll have you back on to talk about some shit that doesn't have to deal with some dude who will or will not be in Fort Leavenworth for a long period of time.
Thanks again, Cody, for taking the time out to speak with us so many months ago. I think it's great to bring back some of those old stories from time to time, because we do have new listeners or listeners who missed that one at the time. So hopefully you learned something about that case, left with a different perspective and straight from the mouth from somebody who was there. Let's move on to round number 4. Round number 4 is brought to you by our good friends at Movember. Movember is a leading charity dedicated to changing the face of men's health around the world. This Movember, whatever mustache you grow, will save a bro. Your support for change of face men's health and raising awareness for funds and prostate cancer, testicular cancer, mental health, and suicide prevention. This year, Barstool's own Donnie Does is growing out his Mo to save a bro. Join him on Barstool Movember team and help us change the face of men's health. For every $50 you fundraise on our team, you'll get entry to win a trip for 2 to join us at the Army-Navy Live Cup college football show, which will be at movember.com/barstool to join our team, grow your mustache, and fundraise for the chance to win. I think it's great, like, being involved with anything that helps, like, get rid of cancer and, like, early diagnosis. And all you have to do really is fill yourself up. You know what you're supposed to feel like. If
grab
you feel something
balls.
Weird, yeah, grab them up. They have these on their site. They have these soap. Have you guys seen the soap yet?
Oh, I received the soap. It's pretty awesome.
What is it?
It's
I didn't get the
shape.
Soap in my package.
Oh, the soap is interesting.
What is it? What is it shaped like? Describe
it's
it.
Shaped like a penis and testicles.
Yeah.
So that's hanging
big,
in my shower.
Big droopy balls.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Like, big old droopy balls.
And ladies?
If you like to goof around with testicles, you need to go to the website and make sure that you get that, because that's a good little goof. Somebody comes in to use your shower, you got a set of testy soaps sitting there, that gets you a laugh.
Mm. And you know what I do? You ever see The Labyrinth with David Bowie?
Sure.
You see how he twirls those balls in his hands?
Yes.
That's what I do with my guy. I'm like, just check it. I David Bowie him in November.
Is that what you call it?
Yep.
Hey, I'm going to David Bowie
you real
quick.
Give you the old David Bowie, and it gets him real excited. Every guys love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's weird.
November.
Things got weird.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, maybe we move on.
Well.
All right.
Balls.
All right. Mm. Let's move on to the actual subject. Cons, what do we got?
All right, round number 4. Hold on.
Sorry. Should we intro? Be like, round number 4 before we get into it. Brent.
I can intro this one if you want.
What the fuck happened to you this weekend that was even worse than a Yankees loss? You fucking nerd. Just kidding. Can you tell us you're like playing Fortnite and it just cut out? And then
yeah,
we,
I mean,
all right, here we go. Let's not go through the whole segment of what we should say. All right, here we go.
All right.
All right, round number 4. Our guy Bren, when he's not rooting on his beloved Yankees and leaving big-ass message in Barstool headquarters, he's a huge Fortnite guy. Bren, how much did your heart drop when we lost Fortnite this weekend?
I'm actually not worried about it at all. I think that Fortnite is, you know, it's the biggest video game right now, and you take a day off to get it. We're getting a new map. We're getting an entire new game. That's why, and they're just building up the hype. I'm not worried about it. All these people that
people
are freaking.
Panicking. The
people
screen
are
turned
panicking.
Into a black hole.
Little
I saw
kids
people
are panicking.
Throwing things at their televisions.
Well, yeah, little kids are not happy about this. That essentially, you can't play the game, but I should be back tomorrow. It's not a huge deal.
Shout
I'm
out to
not
all
panicking.
The parents that had to parent this weekend.
I was going
to
say, without
sucks.
Fortnite, you were going to have more time to clean, but.
Well, because here's the thing. They do, like, in-game events, so it's like you watch all these, it's like a cinematic kind of, like, I don't know, it happens within the game while everyone's playing.
Yeah.
So
like the concert, right?
Kind of, yeah. Like, the Marshmello had a sponsored thing, like, the DJ Marshmello put on, like, a live concert where everybody's, like, in the game, and you're, like, watching Marshmello put on a concert. You can even buy, like, a Marshmello guy, like, in the item shop and, like, play as
yeah.
Marshmello. So they do these kinds of things all the time, and they had this big cinematic, and then the screen just went black. And nobody's
Everybody
playing anymore.
Everybody freaked out.
Yeah,
terrible.
Well, hey, what the hell does this have to do with the United States military?
Well, our friend Haley Britsky from Task and Purpose reported that for the first time, the Army brass and defense industry folks descending on Washington, D.C. for the annual Association of the U.S. Army Conference will be joined by the Army's latest pride and joy.
Ooh, it's, like a badass infantry group or some kind of paratrooper or?
No, it's team of professional gamers.
What?
Didn't know we had that.
No.
While thousands of soldiers gave it their all, only 16 were ultimately selected as competitive gamers and assigned to the Marking and Engagement Brigade at Fort Knox for three years of, quote, constant competitive training, recruiting engagements, and interaction with the public on a daily basis, the Army said in its 2018 release. So, Muth told reporters that studies have shown that of their target audience of 17 to 24-year-olds, around half of them are on some type of e-gaming. He said that typically an Army event yields around 350 leads from potential recruits. But one esports event brought in about 900 really good quality leads.
Oh my God. So wait, you know how you can talk to people while you're playing video games?
Yes.
They're going to have these young 16, 17-year-olds in there. And hey there, looks like you're a pretty good shot. You ever think about what you're doing after high school? They're going to reel
these kids in. Want to try the real thing?
Yeah. They're going to reel these kids in. Oh, my God.
I don't hate it. I mean, you got to adapt with the times, and it's very clear that the demographic is playing video games, so why not go to the source?
Sign up. I bet they'll let you play games just like me. I bet you'll just be a video game guy, too.
How do you guys feel about the Army having a full-time e-video game team?
I think it's smart.
I think it's smart, and I don't think that I'm necessarily surprised to hear it.
Now, the problem
I actually love it. I think that it's great, and I think people who poo-poo on these type of things are just jealous. It used to trigger me big time whenever people were on, like, the All-Marine softball team or the All-Marine basketball team. Even though those weren't full-time positions like the other branches of service do, like, we don't have any full-time people. They actually have to do their job, too. But whenever you have one of those teams and it is your full-time job, I was like, man. But that comes from a position of jealousy. The only one that I really hate is the Air Force singing sergeants. I just hate those folks. I
like
them.
It. They make old people happy. They make the olds. My parents get delighted when stuff like that rolls up, like the USO jazz hands people. Yeah. But I have to say, I think this is smart. We just better hope that what if Russia's army is creating a team? What if all of a sudden you're in the middle of the Fortnite? And all of a sudden, you got an intergalactic?
Yeah, no. International?
International war going on the Fortnites. And then we got aliens coming into play, too.
No.
I don't know. I feel like we just have to be careful. But, man, getting reeled in, signing up for an Army contract because you think you're going
to
be a gamer.
Well, I think what's important to note here is they say only 16 were ultimately selected as competitive gamers. So this team, this e-gaming team, is not very large. So it'll probably be sold to a lot of people like, hey, you can come play video games in the Army, when in reality, the percentage is so small that the chances that you're going to be picked, not that great, but oh, we got you now.
Also, I want to be in the
infantry school.
I want to be in the meeting where they came. This is brilliant. Marking and Engagement Brigade.
Yeah.
That sounds badass. That sounds like an infantry thing, but it's not.
There's so many little nooks and crannies in the Army, especially, and I'm sure it's the same in the other branches, where there's little nifty little jobs that aren't advertised, but they exist. So you got to kind of work some drug deals to get into them. But once you're in, man, you're getting over every day. It's great.
And we make fun of this computer. Like, I'm always like, nerds, nerds, nerds. But I just listened to this great, I think it was on NPR or something like that, about the Army hackers who went behind the scenes. And they just fucked with ISIS in tiny little ways.
Yeah.
Like locking them out of their Instagram accounts. That just was bad for morale. And like all sorts of funny little like.
You got to do it. You got to adapt with the times. I think it's great.
Yeah. They would go to upload their videos. Like us trying to upload a podcast. And it's taking forever. Why is it taking forever? They would just make it take forever. Yep. And they would get mad at each other. And so yeah. The cool stuff coming out of this.
It's funny to imagine the HR and shit behind ISIS. Like they're getting upset. Like you're about to get fired. Like I can't get fired. It's not my fault. The internet's slow. I'm dealing with shit Wi-Fi.
That's what their internal emails and stuff were like. They were driving each other nuts because they didn't realize that it was the U.S. that was just slowing down, messing up their stuff. Just funny stuff.
Awesome. Somewhere there's the ISIS equivalent of All Business Pete who's just like fielding all these complaints. I can't do anything.
Who Honest to God,
it might be All Business Pete himself.
Yeah. Don't be surprised.
Yeah.
Very well.
All right, let's move into save rounds, alibis, cons. We'll start with you.
Number one, Brent, I'm proud of you for how you've reacted to the situation at hand, and I hope you take it as a learning lesson, and you will, and you'll move on, and you'll be better for it, so that's great.
I mean, I'm surprised I haven't had a heart attack since like 8 o'clock last night, from the start of the Yankee game until like I woke up this morning, my heart started beating like it twice as fast as it normally has for like almost like a good 14 straight hours.
Just knowing you're involved in something and just waiting for the hammer to come down is an all-time horrible feeling.
Yeah.
So But as I said, I think you will learn from this and be better. So that's great. Number two, I had a great time in Charleston. Charleston's a great little city.
Yeah.
This past weekend.
Did you have a Charleston chew?
I did not, although now that I think about it, that's a huge miss.
Indeed it is. But you had a great time.
Yes.
You were there with your friends, your lady.
Mm-hmm.
You had a good time. What was the best thing you ate?
Oh, my gosh. We had this meal at this place. No free ads, but this place called Fig. Everything from start to finish was unbelievable.
Super good.
Yeah. Just so savory and unbelievable. And as you're listening to this, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
So listen, I don't want tweets, texts, calls.
He's lying.
Just Venmo me.
Tag him on Instagram.
No, just Venmo me.
And tell him he's a good athlete. Say something nice about West Point football today.
Yeah, please. We need it.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Cons.
Thank you.
Kate, you got anything?
No, just that again, I, you know, got a little out of hand. But I think the lesson here is I should never have taken a break from drinking.
Yes.
That's the result. You got to just steady through it, and that way these things won't happen.
I'm going to buy a pack of cigarettes today.
I'm back to drinking and smoking again. Yeah, for sure.
You just got to, you know, lower the intake.
Indeed. You weren't back to smoking.
No, I didn't smoke.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Which is shocking.
That's good.
I was pretty blacked out. So good for me.
I will agree with you, though. Going with Pat, I'm going to be taking a trip with Pat here in a few weeks, and it's difficult.
Fucking bad news bears,
yes.
Dude.
He's a terrible influence.
He's the one who deserves the page 11 in all this, I'd
yeah,
say.
Yeah, seriously.
All right.
Yeah, no doubt.
Chapsy?
Well, I have a request from the listeners. So I need you guys, if you're heavily involved in a VFW, to email me, chaps@barstoolsports.com. I want to talk to you about your VFW. We want to do something where we go visit a couple of VFWs. So hit me up. If you are involved in the leadership at a local VFW or you know of a VFW close by that we could come see and come hang out at, just hit me up at chaps@barstoolsports.com. I also want you to go to our YouTube page if you want to see Bren standing at the position of parade rest. That's where that will be living. Go to Zero Block 30 on YouTube. Subscribe there. Also our Twitter accounts and all that. Other than that, we have a wonderful interview. We're releasing this on Monday, so you'll have time. If you're one of the ones that are listening to it on Monday, you'll have time. Go to our iTunes account and ask us any questions that you want us to have for Kyle Carpenter, because we're actually interviewing him tomorrow. So make sure if you're listening to it today, go to our iTunes account, or you can email us, or you can DM us, or whatever. We want to have questions, because he's doing like a million interviews. We want the questions to come straight from the people. We've had him on before, so we just kind of want to goof. If you have funny questions, some would you rathers, anything like that, just let us know what you want us to ask Kyle Carpenter, and he'll be on the show on Friday. Other than that, sound the retreat.